The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Breaking News. Culture is religion externalized. Join us as we evaluate Christianity's influence throughout the world and discuss news and events taking place in the Christian community and our world today.
You're listening to the Breaking News Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Walker. And in this episode of the Breaking News Podcast, we are going to be discussing the return of the savage and the barbarian. The Breaking News Podcast is a production of the Recon Resource Network. For more information, you can visit the website, thereconresourcenetwork.com. Culture is religion externalized. Thank you for joining us again as we evaluate Christianity's influence throughout the world and discuss news and events taking place in the Christian community and our world today. On this episode of the Breaking News Podcast, we have a few different things for you. We first will start with Christianity's March Forward as we discuss a few podcasts we have for you and also Christians in Politics. We also have news in review, some news articles we're going to be touching on from the previous week. And our top story for this week on Breaking News Podcast, our top story is the return of the savage and the barbarian. And we'll be discussing that. So let's go ahead and get started with Christianity's March Forward, and we'll discuss some of the news and events we have for you today. Okay, to go ahead and get Christianity's March Forward started, we have a podcast recommendation for you that came to our attention this week. And the name of the podcast is called Cross Politic Show and Podcast. And you can find them on their website at crosspolitic.com. I listened to a few episodes of the Cross Politic podcast already. It's grown quite large in its time from the humble beginnings of when it started. And I went ahead and listened to quite a few of the episodes that they have there, and I think there's some great content on there from some very good Christians. Now, if this might be something you're interested in, I'm going to go ahead and read the description for Cross Politic Show and Podcast. It says, Cross Politic, Christ Over Politics, mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics to bring the clarity of the gospel into muddle America. We are a community of Christians who desire to see the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture, reigning over every politician and changing every individual for our good and His glory. Our hosts are pastors, deacons, and filmmakers who long to see our fallen and broken nation recognize Jesus as our Redeemer. Our hosts have interviewed notable president candidates such as Senator Ted Cruz and Ben Carson. Written books, preach the gospel, make films, and utilize every avenue possible to declare the gospel of our Lord to the whole world. So that's going to be our first recommendation, is the Cross Politic podcast. If you have not become familiar with it yet, it might be something you could look into. Now that website, once again, is crosspolitic.com. The second thing we have on Christianity's March Forward is a second podcast recommendation for the listener, and this one is called Out of the Question Podcast. Now, this is a podcast brought on by the Chalcedon Foundation and is hosted by Charles H. Roberts and Andrea G. Schwartz. You can find the website for the podcast and listen to it there on chalcedon.edu/resources/audio/out-of-the-question. Or, of course, you can just go to the chalcedon.edu website and in the search bar type in Out of the Question Podcast. Now, they've done a number of episodes, just got this started, and the titles for some of these episodes they've done are Why Are We Constantly Under Surveillance? Another one was Why Does My Spouse Want Out of Our Marriage? A third one was What Attracts People to Alternative Religions and Cults? And the most recent one, Why Don't My Kids Listen to Me Anymore? This is a podcast which uncovers the real question behind many questions and offers biblical solutions. I have, of course, already listened to a number of these episodes. There's lots of good content in there, and so I think it's a good recommendation for the listener. If you have not found this podcast yet or heard it yet, might be something you want to look into. Once again, go to chalcedon.edu and type into the search bar out of the question, and you should be able to find the podcast there. The third update we have for you on Christianity's March Forward today is concerning Scott Herndon, who wants to be the state senator for Idaho of District 1. You can go to Scott Herndon's website at herndonforidaho.com for more information about him. But the main things that Scott Herndon wants to kind of focus on, kind of his platform, and we've covered other politicians here, Christian politicians. One was Dan Fisher, and this is Scott Herndon. His, of course, one of his first platforms he wants to focus on, should he be elected as for the state senate in Idaho, will be to abolish abortion in the state of Idaho. He also wants to promote state sovereignty, financial, constitutional, and business practice auditing, and, of course, limited government. Now, we have talked about this before on Breaking News Podcast, but I think this is worthy to mention again, is that Christian Reconstruction starts at the bottom and works its way to the top. It is not a top-down approach. Now, that does mean that we need Christian teachers, we need Christian businessmen and grocery workers, and that also means Christian politicians. So this is always something worthy to note. It's a worthy venture for any Christian to go into the realm of politics as well, and because that is one of the realms that does need to be reconstructed as well. So that's going to be our updates for Christianity's March Forward for today. And so we're going to go ahead and move on to our news in review and, of course, our top story. Well, the news in review, and as we continue the Breaking News Podcast episode today, the news in review is something that Breaking News Podcast has been doing and just started recently. And the last episode, we actually were covering some of the news in review. Every week, we collect information, stories, and articles around the internet, and we post them to our Facebook page. And you can find us on Facebook. Type in to the search bar, the Breaking News Podcast. You can find us there. And throughout the week, if you want, you can watch our feed as we post news and articles that we think other people might have interest in. At the end of every week, we're going to post what's called our News in Review, and we post those to our Facebook page and also to our website, which is on the Recon Resource Network /breaking-news. And you can always find a kind of a summation of all the articles and videos we posted throughout the week and things we'd like to have people focus on. Now, the reason for that is culture is religion externalized, and as we look at the culture and as we look at the news, we should be able to see and evaluate problems in the culture, things where Christians need to have an answer for how to reconstruct all the various things throughout the world. Now, another thing we like to discuss is not only that, but for those listeners who were here for last week, we mentioned Backward Christian Soldier and the book giveaway that we have, and you can also still enter to win that. Go to thereconresourcenetwork.com /breaking-news, scroll to the bottom, and you can find February 2018, the 2nd through the 8th, and we still have a link on there for Backward Christian Soldier to enter to win the book there. Now, we also have lots and lots of other articles on there as well. You can click on the article to read all the various articles, or at the bottom, we also have videos we've collected throughout the week, things we think you might be interested in as well, or things you should put some thought into. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to go ahead and get ourselves started, and we're going to go ahead and touch on some of the news in review, some of the articles that we came across, and we want to kind of give the listener an idea of how to evaluate the news, of how Christians should think about things when they hear the news or when they see events happening and unfolding throughout our day. A televangelist was giving advice concerning flu season, and the article was entitled, "A Televangelist Flu Season Advice, Inoculate Yourself with the Word of God." Well, this was a statement given by Gloria Copeland, who, if you're not familiar with the name Copeland, she is the wife of Kenneth Copeland, very famous evangelical Christians, kind of the people who are prosperity gospel people to a certain extent. But some of the comments that she made about the flu, and flu, of course, is short for influenza, and right now, here in February 2018, there's a flu scare. At least it's all over the news and all over the media. You can hear about the flu everywhere. Well, Gloria Copeland had a few things to say about this. One of the things she said was that concerning Jesus, that he had borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. We were healed, we are healed, and we will be healed. She also said that Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of the flu. And just keep telling yourself, I'll never get the flu. Inoculate yourself with the word of God. Now, there's a major problem with people like this, and I think the listener, I think most people kind of think that the people that talk like this are batty to a certain extent, and even the secularist people will make fun of them. Well, the problem is that this has a deeper root in the concept of false doctrines and misrepresentations of Scripture, and here it's just absolutely staggering. But there are many people that would kind of laugh off these types of things. You kind of laugh them to scorn that you're going to inoculate yourself with Jesus and the Word of God is going to keep the flu away from you. But we do have a problem because there are other misrepresentations people have. So not just Gloria Copeland and saying that Jesus healed us and he's our flu shot. I mean, it's a gross misrepresentation of Christ's sacrifice and a gross misrepresentation of what the Bible talks about. But I think it is important to notice that we're talking here, that one of the things that's important to pay attention to are other misrepresentations that people have that aren't laughed at, that aren't really even seen as ridiculous as this one is. One of those is people that say, well, the law of God is not binding for us today. We don't have God's law. Well, that should be as ridiculous as somebody saying that Jesus is your flu shot. It should be something so ridiculous. It's openly, obviously, unbiblical, right to your face. Another one that I would say is a gross misrepresentation and false doctrine that people don't really actually even pay attention to is that you can decide for yourself if you go to heaven or not. Christianity is covered with people that really do believe this. They don't see it like Gloria Copeland saying, inoculate yourself against the flu, Jesus was your flu shot, as just being ridiculous. Somebody who knows the Bible, if you've been in Christianity for any time, and they hear somebody say, you send yourself to heaven or you send yourself to hell, it should be something that's just ridiculous. Something we obviously look at and just say, that is just crazy talk. Where do you get that stuff from? It should be something that we, as the church, as Christians in general, just understand that it's ridiculous to say such things. It's a gross misrepresentation and it's heresy. Now, another one would be, education is for your children is not ever discussed in the Bible. Now, that's a big one that I've heard, and that is also something that is just ridiculous as well. Just as Jesus is your flu shot, education is not in the Bible. Have you picked up your Bible lately? Have you read it? The whole thing is about that. The whole book of Proverbs is about giving instruction to people. The whole Bible is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. What do you think doctrine is? Doctrine is education. That's what the whole Bible is there for, so you can be educated in what the truth is. Well, it should be, once again, laughable and a serious note, a heresy, for somebody to say that education and God never talks about how we're supposed to educate our children, how we're supposed to educate society. It should be something just like Jesus is your flu shot. Education is not in the Bible. It should be something that our ears perk up and we say, no, that's absolutely wrong. That's crazy talk. And that's absolute heresy. Another one would be is that God loves you just the way you are. And this covers so many different sins where people will come out and teach that you don't have to change because Jesus loves you the way you are. Jesus died for sinners. Well, Jesus did die for sinners. That's right. But he did not die so they could stay sinners. They're supposed to repent of those sins and grow out of them. But the people that teach these doctrines that Jesus loves you just the way you are not telling people that to be a Christian, it also should bear the fruit of a changed life. So Jesus is your flu shot isn't as ridiculous as all the other things we've just gone through. All of them are gross misrepresentations of Scripture. All of them are heresies to the highest degree. Jesus did not come to save you from the flu. He's not your flu shot. He came to save you from your sins. And that means, of course, that God's law is very important. It means that you don't get a choice if you're going to heaven or hell or not. That was God's choice. You don't get a choice in how you educate your children. God tells you how to educate your children. And Jesus does love you the way you are, but he doesn't leave you in the state in which you're at. He's going to now perfect you. So this just means that anyone can come to Christ, but it means that those who have come to Christ will then have a changed life. Moving on to our second news interview article, I thought was an important one to bring up. And this article was titled, Cornell Frat Disciplined Over Pig Roast Sex Contest. Well, we have all known that colleges have sororities and fraternities, and a lot of them have different ways of getting in, initiations and other things to get into their different frats, different sororities, and things like that. In this one, in Cornell, there was this fraternity who was going to play a game, and they called it the Pig Roast. And what the game was, what the goals was, is the frat brothers, who were hoping to get into the college, were supposed to go and seduce women who were heavy of weight. And the people who seduced the most women with the most weight, they would be the winners. Or if there was a tie, then the one that had seduced the woman with the most weight would be the winner. Now, once this competition from this fraternity house got out, it exploded. But it didn't explode for the reasons I think people should be upset about. Now, some of the things they said in the article, they said this was this very disturbing type of competition. They called it a cruel game. They said that the fraternity house and all the members there were going to be required to partake in at least two events during the school's Sexual Assault Awareness Week. And then they were going to have to also participate in ongoing education on sexual violence. And even the chapter house said that the Cornell chapter of the fraternity said it was in disbelief over the allegations of misconduct. And the last part they said was that the allegations described are contrary to the values that Zeta Beta Tau fraternity espouses and works in direct conflict with the beliefs and missions of the Kappa chapter. Now, just stop there for a second. We're talking about a secular college. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever read a book by Tom Wolfe called I Am Charlotte Simmons. If you haven't read that book, I suggest that you read it. Now, it is a tough read, because Tom Wolfe is a very good observer of society, a very good observer of mankind. And when he writes in a narrative, so it's like a story, but he's really doing so to observe society and point things out. And when he did I Am Charlotte Simmons, it was all about the modern college scene. And what he described in there, it goes right along with what we're seeing here. Now, the concept that they're talking about, the values, their belief, their mission. This is from the Kappa chapter. What exactly are their values? I mean, these are colleges. These are people who believe in going to excess in about everything. Free love is part of it. Their belief systems, what are they? Humanists? Are they Christian? What is their mission? What is it that they're hoping to accomplish? It doesn't say any of these things. Now, the interesting aspect is sexual assault awareness and sexual violence. I mean, these men weren't being accused of sexually assaulting anyone. They're not being accused of sexual rape or violence. And no woman had even come out and said that they didn't consent to these things. So the problem is what exactly is it that they're doing wrong here? What is it that violates their beliefs? What is it that violates their values? And how does it violate their mission? So, I mean, what are they really being accused of? They're really just being accused of hurting someone's feelings. They're not really being accused of immorality, per se. They do have a set of values. In this case, it might just be, thou shalt not hurt my feelings about my weight. But it wasn't that thou shalt not commit adultery. It wasn't that. It wasn't God's law. There is no values or belief systems that line up with God here. In fact, college scenes in general do not dissuade such things. They do not discourage such things. The chapter house here, the news articles, everybody in society, the college campus itself, they would not be against saying, well, two people that go to college can't consent to each other and have relations. They don't consider this demeaning. Now, we've also done a podcast episode on the Christmas story you've never heard before, and I believe it's part 3, which can be found on the GCS Apprenticeship website at gcsapprenticeship.com/podcast, and the Christmas story you've never heard before, part 3. And we discussed the concept of the favorability of virginity and went into depth on this concept and how those people that wish to utilize women outside of the marriage covenant. That is trying to demean the women. It's trying to debauch women. It's trying to put them down, trying to destroy them. Now, the only problem that these people had about this fraternity or frat house was that they were making fun of their weight. That was it. Not the fact that they were seducing them in general, not that they were committed adultery and fornication. Those weren't problems. No, no, no. The problem for them was that if they were doing so and making fun of them because of their weight, that was considered to be immoral. That was considered to be despicable. See, whenever you drop God's law, and whenever you push it to the side, you're left with a new standard. And what is that standard? Well, here in this standard for college campuses, it is not thou shalt not commit adultery. It is not that thou shalt not fornicate. That is not the standard. They promote it actively. So their standard is, in this case, thou shalt not hurt my feelings about how much I weigh. That is their standard. Now, once again, everyone is going to have values. Everyone is going to have beliefs, and everyone's going to have a mission. In this case, it's just not the values of Christianity. Their beliefs just don't line up with Christianity, and their mission is not to spread the gospel and the law of God. Their goals are to spread humanism, to uplift and build the foundations and beliefs of humanism and uphold those values. In this case, fornication, not a big deal. But doing so in a manner where it would be insulting to somebody's weight, now that was immoral. That was debauched. This was something everybody had to be ashamed of. But nobody is ashamed that they would be committing fornication in general. This wasn't something that everybody would say, this is against our values. This is against our beliefs. This is against our missions. No, no, no. Let's just not make fun of somebody's weight. That's where the standard is. So hopefully this gives you some things to think about as far as how the values and standards of people, when you're reading these things in the news, don't line up with Christianity and how we have to reconstruct these things to make them line up. Now, another one was in our news interview, how, of course, that in California, court rules Christian baker cannot be forced to make cakes for a same-sex wedding. Now, once again, this has been in the news for a very long time, and I think it is ridiculous, personally speaking, because there's a couple of things that are just understood that we can all agree on, in generally speaking, is that we have to be careful of saying that we can force people to do things. So in general, should anyone be forced to serve someone outside their will? Is that something that businesses should be done? Should the government have the power to come in and force businesses and say, you have to serve this person for any reasons that this person wants? So no, and it's not a good thing. It's not a biblical thing to do that. But then you have to ask yourself another question is this. As Christians, if we provide services, say we own a grocery store, is it people only that agree with us and we agree with them morally that we're going to serve? Maybe we are the people that are in the hospital. Are we not going to provide medical care to people? Because the problem comes down to is this concept of bakers and baking cakes for weddings and things like that, and people saying that I'm morally opposed to it. Well, Christians are morally opposed to these things, but you are a baker. You're just baking a cake. You're not consenting to these types of things. You're just literally baking the cake that you would bake for anyone else. You're not saying, well, I'm putting my stamp of approval on this. You're literally just selling them a cake. That's it. So I don't think this is an important subject at all. I do not think that anyone should be forced to give services to people at the threat of, in like some cases, losing their businesses, being sued for this type of stuff because you don't give me services, I get to sue you. So no, they should not be able to do that. But on the other side, Christians also are not going to be only servicing people in this world who agree with them 100%. So I think that we really have to pick our battles. I don't think that wedding cakes or grocery stores or beauty salons or anything else is the place that we're supposed to be deciding this is our moral battleground here. If you are providing a service, you should be able to provide the services to the people that you want to, or withhold them, if you want to withhold them, of course. But in general, the Christians, that our calling is not to provide services to a perfect populace, no matter what we're doing. So I do think it's a mistake for people to try to draw the line in the sand where baking a cake is, but not if you own a grocery store, not if you own a fast food joint or a restaurant, or you work at a hospital. These things, I think, when people look at them differently, they go, oh, well, not that. That would just be ridiculous. Well, I think the baking of cakes is ridiculous as well. why let people determine when you fight? You choose your battles. Somebody came in and you sell cakes, well, sell the cake. Doesn't matter who it's to. If you sell groceries, well, sell the groceries. Now, once again, I think businesses should be able to set their own standards, like no shirt, no shoes, no service, things like that, but that's a different discussion. And this one, this whole discussion is all about, does somebody morally support somebody? And so, no, I don't think it's something that Christians are going to look at the world and say, we're, as business people, we're only going to serve those people that we morally agree with 100%. That's not going to be the case. And so I do think that it's a ridiculous battle to be fighting over cakes, and I think it's allowing people to cause a big deal about things when they really shouldn't. I think it's a way for people to be attacked needlessly, and it's allowing people to kind of set the tone of where the battles are fought. And I just don't think that they're fought with a cake, or I don't think they're fought in the grocery store, and I don't think that they're fought anywhere where these types of goods and services are. So I think that we have to kind of pick our battles a little bit better. But the good thing was, is that at least there was this court ruling here that says they could not be forced to do so. Now that is considered to be what I would say a right we should be thankful for having here in America today. And that's something that we should have, a support that businesses cannot be coerced to give services to people if they don't want to provide the services for whatever reason it is. So anyways, let's go ahead and move on from that to the next one where it says another article is Stockton gets ready to experiment with universal basic income. Now this is probably the most boneheaded idea on the planet. I won't spend too much time on this. But where is this guaranteed income going to come from? Is it a magic pot of gold that the government has stashed away somewhere where they're going to give income to people? You can read the article on our news and reviews page or from our Facebook page. Basically, it came down to this, is that they said that people have human dignity, and because they have human dignity, they deserve a certain level of guaranteed income every single month, just guaranteed because they have human dignity. But where is this guaranteed income going to come from? The government doesn't have a big pot of gold sitting back where they can just continue to pull from it. This means that prosperity cannot come from any system that's built on theft or covetousness. It's going to fall apart. In this case, this concept of universal basic income is built on these two concepts. It's built on theft. Somebody's going to have to be taking their money. Somebody's going to be stealing the money. The government will have to come in and take money from other people in the form of taxes or other confiscations of funds in order to have the money to give it to somebody else. And it's based on covetousness. People are going to vote this into existence because they say, I think I deserve somebody else's money. I think I have human dignity. I think I deserve guaranteed income, the state's supposed to provide it for me. Well, no, that's not true at all. But there is a deeper thing to this concept of universal income and the state doing it, because whenever you have in the Bible, you have God saying that he is going to be the provider of all your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, the state is saying the exact same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of the state, and all these things will be added unto you. They believe that prosperity comes through the support of a strong state. And this is where Christianity comes in, and specifically Christian Reconstruction, and says that is not the case. This is not how prosperity comes. This is actually how poverty comes. And it doesn't matter how many times we see it throughout the world, again and again and again, it just doesn't matter to these people because they're dedicated to theft. They're dedicated to covetousness, and you will never convince them otherwise. Now, I'd like to go ahead, and those are some of our news and reviews, and I'd like to go ahead and jump now into our top story. So let's give us a second, and we'll jump right into that. Okay, our top story today, we're going to be discussing the return of the savage and the barbarian. And I won't spend too much of the listeners' time on this, but on our news and review, there were a couple of videos which I think go right along with this. One was a woman who was talking about how children did not deserve spankings, they did not deserve discipline of any sorts, and there's a video of her talking about that concept. The other part of the video we're talking about here, a secondary video, was about the Philadelphia Eagles that just recently won the Super Bowl. And on the internet exploded. It just exploded with videos everywhere of what happened in Philly whenever the Philadelphia Eagles won what their fans did. They took to the streets and they looted and they rioted. They destroyed property and they stole, public and private. There's one video we have of the Philly fans in a convenience store and they're just trashing the whole place. Everything. They're stealing all the chips. They're stealing drinks. They're overturning things, destroying property everywhere. Now, the two coincide, the video of the woman speaking about children not needing discipline of any sorts, and the Philly fans who are destroying property. Now, R.T. Rushdie was famous for describing people that were without Christianity as barbarians and savages. Now, a couple definitions for savage or barbarian are those people that are fierce, those people that are cruel, those people that are untamed, uncivilized, barbarous, those people who are furiously angry, meaning if it's a person, those people who can be rude or have terrible manners of sorts, wild and rugged. Some of the kind of other ones is just that you're uncivilized, you're a cruel person. But it comes down to it, it's just that a person who is savage, a person who is a barbarian, is a person who lacks self-control. They lack basic concern for other people, and they lack basic concern for other people's property. Now, the difference here and what we're talking about here is one thing leads to the next. Whenever you have parents who are going to advocate that children do not need discipline of any sorts, we're not just talking about just corporal punishment, but of any sorts at all, not timeouts, nothing at all. The early childhood education field is a field that is ripe by saying that children do not deserve any form of discipline at all, none. You should never tell the child no of any sorts. They should never even hear the word no before the age of 5 or 6. Now, this is a way to create a barbarian, a savage, somebody who's never learned self-control, somebody who's never learned that they're not allowed to do certain things that they don't want to do, not a person who has no thoughts above themselves. This is the savage, and this is the barbarian. R.J. Rushdie talked one time of his time on the Indian reservations and how when he was there, one thing he never heard was he never heard an Indian child cry. They were given everything they wanted immediately, instant gratification. There was nothing that was ever withheld from them. And this was how you created a barbarian. This was a undisciplined person who could not control themselves. They could not control their desires. And it didn't start when they were 25 years old and they, you know, just won the Super Bowl. This starts when they're children and they lack all self-control, all self-discipline. Society begins to erode. Society begins to break down. Whenever you have no discipline as a child and as you grow up, you expect the world to be the same. You have to have brutal police forces and things like that in order to get a brutal, barbarous, savage society back under control because they don't recognize any authority higher than themselves. You can see videos all over the internet. They will instantly attack a police officer and have no respect for their authority at all. Now, once again, police officers and other people in authority do things that are wrong. There's certain people that abuse their power. There's no debate about that. But in general, the biggest problem that America is facing is that it is eroding the concept that they recognize authority above themselves. That's a major problem. They lack any self-control, kind of like the Philly fans who went and took to the streets and destroyed their city. And this happens all the time. But they went into convenience stores and were stealing and looting, and they all had smiles on their faces. They enjoyed destroying someone else's property. They enjoyed stealing someone else's property. And the same thing happens in young children. If you watch a young child, when they hit somebody, when they steal something, when they're running from another person and they've taken something that belongs to them, there is a clear sense of joy that they're getting by harming other people, either physically, emotionally, or by stealing their property. And the same thing happens to the adult. They get a gratification by breaking the commandments. The savage and the barbarian, these are their markers of their lives and how they act. Now, when you go away from Christianity, and you go further and further away, that means you're getting less civilized, you're getting more savage, more barbaric, because Christianity comes in and says, nope, you have to restrain yourself. Without restraints, you will destroy yourself, and you'll destroy all those around you. And this is exactly what you can see when you see children on their own. Children left to themselves will hurt themselves, and they will hurt those around them. Look at the adults. If they did not have the restraint of police officers, and even the case where the Philly fans were, they had police officers in the streets, but it didn't matter. It was all over Twitter, it was all over the social media feeds. The police had taken to the streets, but it didn't matter. There were mobs of people who were looting and burning and destroying right in the face of all the authorities. And the people that were being interviewed were mocking the fact that the police were out there and they were continuing to do the stuff anyways. This is a return to savagery. This is a return to barbarism. And it doesn't start when you're old. It starts when you're young. And this is why education is so important. This is why rebuilding the foundations of society is so important and why it has to be a Christian foundation. What you're seeing today, where no one's supposed to have any discipline, where people are allowed to just go off and destroy things, and no one's supposed to face consequence, where they enjoy doing it. They find great satisfaction in destruction of property and theft. This is not good for society. This is an anti-Christian movement away from Christianity and further and further and further into humanism, to barbarism, and to savagery. Now, when we see these things as Christians, it should give us an idea of what focus and direction we should be having. This should guide our conversations. We're having conversations with people. We should be able to understand when we see these articles and talk about it and say, this is what happens when men forget God. This is what happens when they forget the commandments and they refuse to teach them. Now, here's the rub. If you think that it's only the Philly fans, if you think it's only the kids whose parents won't give them any discipline, they're just turning into the savages and the barbarians, far from it. The Christian churches today have been going into savagery and barbarism for a very long time. They just do it with a smile, and they just do it with their hands raised as they sing to God. But they are breaking the commandments while they're claiming to love the God who gave it to them. They can't have two. They can't be double-minded. And the Christians today are double-minded. They are churches of savagery and barbarism because they've given up the law. And as they've given up the law, they're going further into barbarism, further into savagery. Despite what it might look like on the outside, they are training their children and themselves to move further into becoming the new barbarians of our day. So I think that this is enough, at least for today, to go over some of the news and articles. Maybe give you some, the listener here, something to think about as we go through these things. But the job of the Christian Reconstructionist is to influence society, and they can't help it. That's something you have to understand. They can't help it. It's not like it's a goal that you have per se, because as the person themselves is converted, as they're saved, their life changes. Then how they influence their family is going to change what they do with their children, how they train them, how they teach them, what they do with them, what they allow them to do as well, the control that they have. In fact, this is a reason why in the church, a person could not be an elder or a deacon or any form of leadership of any sorts unless they first had control over themselves and then their family, because they were not fit to assist anybody else in anything unless they had themselves and their own family first under control, and that meant in obedience to the commandments of God. So I think this is important. People discuss and talk about these things. I think it's important that the listener pays attention to the world out there. And as Christian Reconstructionists, it gives us an idea every week, we see the news, we see videos, we see articles, and it gives us something new to talk about with those around us. But we should be reconstructing things in alignment with the Word of God. And if we're going to go away from barbarism and towards true civilization, then we're going to have to reinstitute God's law that gives us our standard. Unlike the people at the frat house who thought that they had values and beliefs and a mission, the Christians have values and beliefs and a mission too. Theirs just comes from the Word of God and the Bible. The commandments of God are their values. The Word of God is where all their beliefs come from. And their mission comes to the Great Commission. They're supposed to go out and teach all things, to be disciples, discipling all the nations in the Word of God. And so hopefully This episode of Breaking News Podcast is giving you something to think about that maybe you've missed before. But every week we're going to hope to bring you news, new media and news, things to think about. If you'd like to send us something, news articles, things like that, you can find us at thereconresourcenetwork.com. You can find links from our website, or, of course, you can click into the Facebook and the search bar. So thank you for joining us again today for another episode of Breaking News, and hopefully next week we'll bring you more information about Christianity's march forward and, of course, more news and articles for you to think about, and as Reconstructionists, what our job is and how we're supposed to influence the world today.
Thank you for listening to Breaking News. Until next time, Godspeed. The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.